Welcome back to my channel for another episode of Porn Star Confessions. Today I'm super excited. I've got Derek Cage. Welcome, Derek.
Hey, how's it going?
Doing well. So, how old are you, first of all?
I'm 39.
Oh, damn, we're almost the same age. When did you start in this industry?
I started filming OnlyFans content. Like, I started all of that when I was around, or in a 2020, like March of 2020, like days before the pandemic happened and all the lockdowns and all that stuff happened. So a little over 3 years.
Okay.
And then I've been in the studio industry for a little over a year. I started in May of 2022.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, so about a year and 3 months, I think, now.
So you kind of did it reverse of most people.
Yeah. I think, like, with the advent of OnlyFans, it was just kind of like, oh, this is easier. I don't have to, like, you know, audition or anything. I can just throw stuff out there and, you know, see how it does.
Yeah, no, I get that. So let's start with your life before porn, before all that. What did that look like?
Oh, God. You want me to, like, David Copperfield this, where we start, like, I was born, I grew up, or you want, like, you know, just before I started porn?
No, like, I don't know, what was your life like growing up?
Oh, God, it was awful. I'm always very honest about this, and some people, you know, I feel like a lot of people actually get some benefit out of listening to, you know, like, my life story. So I was born in Huntsville, Alabama, and grew up kind of in, like, the Appalachian Mountains at the very north of Alabama. So, like, literally hillbilly. Like, that was my start. And my mom was, you know, single mother, very, very poor. And she married to my stepdad, and my stepdad was just total piece of shit. Like, horribly abusive. Mentally, physically, emotionally, all of that stuff. And my stepbrothers were pretty abusive as well. And so, like, my childhood, I really don't look back fondly on. I also just had, like, a very racist family. Like, you know, they were on the wrong side of the 1950s that they grew up in. So, like, and then, you know, like, I was bullied in school. I was always very different. I was always very curious, you know, not to mention, like, the whole gay thing that I was grappling with growing up. And so my teenage years were very, like, drug, alcohol, sex heavy, like, major depression, lots of antidepressants, you know, therapy. So, like, my childhood and teenage years were actually pretty awful. I don't look back fondly on it.
So, sex with women or men in that era?
Both, yeah. And then got to college. College was a little better. You know, that was at least... I was in the closet, though, so I kind of faked my way through college. And then once I graduated, I left Huntsville and went up to Richmond, Virginia. Got a job with the Army, and I was working with... you know, like, logistics stuff for the Army. And that was where I finally got to, like, get out and experience, you know, new things. And so I found my first boyfriend, you know, started having, like, officially having gay sex. And yeah, that was when I finally started to get to, like, explore and really, you know, find out what the whole gay thing was about. I also went up to DC a lot while I lived there, and was with my boyfriend for, or eventually fiance, for 7 years.
Oh, wow.
Until about 2015. And then 2015, we broke up, and I just became, like, a massive slut in DC. Like, slept my way through that city. Was working with the Air Force at the time, still doing, like, logistics stuff. And then, finally, when the pandemic hit, I started my OnlyFans and moved out here to Utah, just to, like, get out of DC and get away from, you know, the lockdowns and all that stuff. So, okay. That's, you know, 30 some odd years in about 5 minutes. So
7 years, though, that's pretty remarkable for your first gay relationship.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How did that? Because that's very rare. Like, very first lasts that long. How did that work?
Yeah, I was very inexperienced. I didn't know what I should have wanted out of a relationship. I thought I wanted something very like heteronormative. You know, we were in a monogamous relationship. Well, mostly monogamous. I mean, I strayed a few times, but overall, like, it just was very manipulative, very like, I was gaslit all the time for feeling like thinking another guy was hot, or, you know, looking at a certain type of porn, or feeling like very kinky in some ways, and like being shamed for that and all that. And so it was just kind of like a continuation of the abuse that I had from my family, being very like, you know, if I asked a question like, oh, what are your thoughts on like a threesome? And then just being completely shamed to be like, you shouldn't think about that. You shouldn't have those feelings. Like, that's awful. How dare you think that? And so it was a lot of that where I was just kind of like kept in, you know, a little shell that my fiance thought was appropriate. And so, yeah, that's, I had a lot of growing to do after that first relationship.
No, that you mentioned gaslighting. That is one thing that, like, I have mixed feelings on it, because what you're describing is actual gaslighting. However, I feel like the majority of the time when people use it now, it's not even used correctly. It would almost be like me telling you, did you just grab my ass? You'd be like, what the fuck? I can't grab your ass through a camera, motherfucker. Be like, what? You're gaslighting me. Do you see what I mean? I feel like it's used in that type of context so much more often.
Yeah, I wonder if it's because it's becoming a popular term, and more and more people are like trying to figure out what it is. My understanding is, if I were to say to you, hey, I really like, you know, zappers on my nuts, like, let's just really go, like, let's have something pretty crazy out here, and I would tell you, you know, I really feel like this is a great thing, I really feel like this turns me on, and then you would be like, how dare you feel that way, like, that's actually a horrible thing to think because of this reason, this reason, this reason, and completely discounting like my thoughts and feelings. That to me is like gaslighting.
Yes, no, that's exactly what it should be.
Yeah, yeah. So my relationships, my family relationships, you know, friends I no longer have, family I no longer have around, like, they were truly gaslighters. Like, constantly making me feel like I was an idiot, or like that I asked stupid questions. So there's a lot of trauma to unpack there. So that's, I think they, you know, they were genuinely manipulative and gaslighters, rather than just being, you know, I don't want to be flippant about saying they were gaslighters. Like, they actually were gaslighters.
Oh yeah, no. What you're describing is what gaslighting actually is. And the problem is, when someone's actually doing that, it can start to make you question your sanity. Like, oh my God, is there something wrong with me? Like, should I not be turned on by this? What's wrong with it? It makes you feel insane.
Yeah. And I think that's what the purpose is. I think, you know, people that are like particularly like narcissists, and people that try and have a hold on people that are close to them, like, they're masters at it. They're very, very good at it. Like, I'll never forget the time I was, I was married as well. Now I'm separated from my husband, but I'll never forget, he was talking with his family, and I forget what they said. I forget exactly what they were talking about, but they were describing how something made them feel, how something, you know, it wasn't a matter of, you know, oh, this is, you know, a rational feeling. It was just, you know, this is how I feel about this. And he like stopped them and said, I'm going to need you to have reputable sources for how you feel. And I was like, oh, I was like, oh, I'm in trouble. Like that's the level of gaslighting of some people, that they will make you feel stupid for feeling a certain way. And, you know, I think I finally learned through many years of experience, you know, like to now know those signals and red flags to be like, oh, that's not good.
No, the reason I'm laughing is because I was talking with my son the other day about aging, and that's honestly, at least for me, the best part of aging is like you see through bullshit so much faster. Once someone starts displaying certain personality traits, you're like, I've seen this movie 20 times. I know exactly how this shit ends.
Yeah. Yeah. Once you experience it enough, you're like, I mean, it may take quite a few times, but once it finally clicks, you're like, oh, that's what that is. That's what we're dealing with here.
Yeah. And like the other thing you mentioned was like checking out another guy. I mean, me personally, I'm a little more old fashioned. Like I prefer a monogamous relationship. Mm-hmm. However, if like you and I were dating, I'm not going to get upset about you checking out another guy. That is the most absurd shit on the face of the planet to think that like, oh, I should be the only guy you're ever attracted to. What the fuck?
It's a level of insecurity and jealousy that just that never, you know, registered in my mind. Like if I was with somebody and they were like, oh, that guy's really hot or that girl's really hot, I'd be like, yeah, you're right. You know, or I'd be like, eh, not really my type, you know. But I wouldn't shame them or make them feel like shit for having a natural feeling, for like having a natural reaction to seeing like a beautiful person. You know, to shame someone for having a natural reaction like that, like you're just pushing them down and making them feel like shit for something that they can't help and something they shouldn't have to help. And so, no, that's, well, you're getting like the full breakdown of my relationships and like how awful they have been.
So your first fiance, I'm guessing he was older.
Only by like a couple of months.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, this would have been in our 20s. Like when we broke up, I was 30 and about to turn 31.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, the reason why I ask is because that type of like behavior, at least where I've seen it with other people, is the gaslighter, manipulator, abusive, whatever word you want to attach, is generally older and they pick someone younger because they're naive, because they're inexperienced. And, you know, even though you were older at the time, because of your life, I feel like you lacked a lot of that experience when it came to relationships. So he's like, oh, this guy's not going to know better.
Yeah. I think a lot of that came from family abuse and the family gaslighting and manipulation, that it was kind of, the word's not normal, but just familiar. The word is, it was very familiar, you know? So I was like, he treated me in a way that I was familiar with, even though it wasn't, you know, a good way to feel. I was like, oh, you know, I ask him a question, he tells me exactly how he feels about it, whether it's my fault or not, you know, this. So it was very familiar. And I also just had it in my mind. I was like, oh, this is how relationships work. This is how, you know, this is how this is supposed to be. Even though I'm like, oh no, this is not how it's supposed to be. This is awful. Like, this is clearly one person holding themselves above another and like making themselves feel superior at this person's expense.
Oh yeah.
And I just didn't know any better.
When do you think it started to shift in your head where you're like, okay, fuck this. And you started kind of, when did that happen? Was there like a particular moment?
Probably with my husband. So he left me in December of 2021, after about a year of marriage, after about 3 years of being together. And I really strived for a long time to have like that relationship, just I'm with one person. We share everything together. We do everything together. We're a couple. We're a unit. This is what you're supposed to strive for. This is what's normal. And so, like, for a long, long time, I really tried. Like, I really tried. I mean, I married the motherfucker. So, like, and marriage was not a good thing in my family. Like, most of my family is just chock full of divorces. And so, for me to have married him, like, that was a pretty big fucking deal. And it finally hit a point where I realized that I was giving so much of myself, like energy, financial, other kinds of resources. I cook, I clean, I am very good at like listening. Like I was bringing so much to the table. I not to mention I also had a damn good job with like benefits and retirement and all that shit. Like, I literally brought a giant mound of good shit to a relationship, and it was just picked at and picked at until there was like nothing left.
That's
And so
funny.
I hit a point where I was like, I could have all this for me. I actually could use all of this to make myself better, not these people who clearly are just taking and taking and taking and not giving anything in return. So it was probably when I was 37, 38, when my husband left me, that I was like, all right, I'm in this for me. Like, I tried, I attempted, I failed miserably. I'm gonna pick the pieces up and I'm gonna do everything I can for me now. So I was pretty late in the game, but yeah, it was definitely late 30s that it finally clicked that I was like, that shit ain't for me. Like, I'm gonna do everything for me now. Call me selfish, but yeah.
Yeah, no, it's like you kind of went around something, and it's so true because I was listening to something by David Goggins the other day, and he was talking about when he was younger, how he would just constantly like lie, not in a malicious way, but like lie and say he was into things that he wasn't just because he wanted people to like him. You're like so desperate for acceptance and approval, and when you get into a relationship, you really want the other person to like you. And then I think, like you said, you just get to a point where you're like, fuck this. Like, this is me, motherfucker. Take it or leave it.
Yeah, seriously. And like the reason why my husband left me was because I showed interest in doing studio porn. Like we both had OnlyFans. We had both been doing OnlyFans, but it was, and we were in an open relationship, and it was the moment that, I was like, hey, I really hate my job here with the Air Force. Like, I'm over it. I'm having a mental breakdown over this. Like, this is not for me. I'm seriously considering like studio porn. And that was the moment where he was like, no, that's not gonna work for me. And he decided to leave. So it re say what?
That sounds ass backwards.
Yeah,
Because
make sense of it.
like looking at it from an outsider's point of view, I feel like a partner would have a much bigger problem with like fan content than studio porn. Like it's reversed. What was his reason?
I mean, I imagine there were other things, that it had just kind of gotten to a point where he was like no longer happy, or I imagine like that wasn't the only thing, but I imagine that was the moment that it was like, eh, I'm done. My thoughts are that he grew up in like a really suburban, white picket fence. He had a really great childhood. His family is all still together, like his parents are still married. But he had a great start to life. And in his mind, he never wanted to be married to or be with someone that was a porn star. Like that wasn't acceptable for him. You know, even though I was honestly, like I've said this before on a couple of podcasts, but like I was getting to the point of being suicidal over everything that was happening in my life. And like I had that mental breakdown to where I, you know, I honestly was just like, I have no other options left. And this, I'm so miserable and I hate this. I want to try something new. And he wanted me to stay in that position that I hated and that was so awful because it was acceptable. It was a socially, societally acceptable place to be, even though I was like ready to off myself. So it really, I think that his reasoning was that it just wasn't acceptable by his standards of like employment and standards of what a, you know, normal person would do.
No, that story you just, that really, really just hit home for me.
Yeah.
I'm kind of neck deep in that situation right now. My fiance's parents absolutely love me to death.
Mm-hmm.
And then they found out what I did for a living.
Oh.
And yeah. Now I'm the worst person on planet Earth. I mean, we're talking ultra, ultra, ultra neoconservative.
Oh, shit.
Like, I mean, as bad as what I'm imagining, you know, your brain was like. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you want to talk about it here, but I mean, I'm always a very good listener and I've been through this shit. So
I don't even like, I relate to you so much because like I'm going through that right now, but I just, now it makes more sense because all of a sudden, if you start doing studio porn, he can't be like, oh, here's my husband, you know, because it's human nature to, you know, oh, this is my husband, Derek. Oh, okay. What's he do for a living? That's the very first question anyone's going to ask.
Yeah.
And it sounds like he was just too hung up on what other people thought. Or like painting this pretty image like, oh, this is my husband. He does this and this for a living. And
mm-hmm.
The fuck. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, and what I learned from that is, and I don't mean to, you know, put anything in your head or like make you think a certain way about this, but this was my experience. Anybody that refuses to accept you for what makes you happy or what makes you a living, if they can't accept that, they don't need to be in your life. No. They're going to make you miserable. You're going to try and skirt around every little thing, you know, and keep from really being yourself. And since I experienced, you know, my husband leaving me, my job being miserable and hating I did everything as I was supposed to. I have 3 degrees. I don't use a single fucking one of them. I had a great job for 15 years and I finally resigned last year, you know, got married, had, you know, I own 2 houses. Like I've done everything that society and my family and all, like everybody expected of me. And I was miserable. It just was not for me. You know, society says you have to do this. And I did that shit. And I hated it. I was miserable. And then I finally was like, I'm going to do something that society does not think is okay and that society does not like, but it's not illegal. It's not, you know, like everything that I do is very legal. You know, it's controversial, but, and I could not be happier. I am succeeding. I am thriving. I am traveling the world. I am making money at this. Like, you know, it really is like, if somebody can't appreciate that just because I'm a porn star or I, you know, I do OnlyFans. Bye. Like, I've put up with that for long enough. I dealt with that for long enough. And what's that, back a couple of years ago where that woman was like, ain't nobody got time for that.
Yeah, no, I remember that. I wanted to talk a little bit more about, because you said what you said about, because I feel like a lot of people, especially watching this, are going to be able to relate to that. The idea that it's like I'm going through life and I'm doing everything everybody told me to, but they're forgetting about themselves and what they're passionate about and what their dreams. So my question to you is, how did you get to that point where you were literally suicidal, and just what was that like? Like, what was...
So you mean like what kind of drove me there? Like drove me to, back in May of last year, I actually did attempt, I attempted suicide, and thankfully I was unsuccessful. but the way that my depression manifests itself is I become just exhausted. I sleep like 15, 16 hours a day. And, you know, I was sleeping as much as I possibly could to just get to the next day and hope that that day was going to be better and hope that I was going to be able to get out of the funk, you know? But, you know, I was still at my job. My husband had already left me. I had to move, you know, out of my husband's place. Like, it was our place, but I had to move out because I was like, I just can't be here anymore.
But how did it get to that point?
You know, basically just like everything in my life had come crumbling down, you know? I moved out to Utah from Washington, D.C. because I was like, one, I just wanted to get out of D.C. Like, my career could have taken different paths, and there's an Air Force base here in Utah that is a logistics like center for the Air Force. So like it was me coming out here for this job was supposed to be like, you know, boost my career, help my career. And when I got out here, the people I worked with were honestly just atrocious human beings. Like, they were awful, awful people. So for roughly a year and a half, I just went through absolute hell every day at work. I hated it. Every day was just another day of like, I don't know if I'm going to get through this. I dread every single day coming up, every single day that I had to go to work. The weekends were just me sleeping because I was like so exhausted and so drained from the week. And then like my husband was not helping at all. Like, he was never genuinely being helpful. He was always very, like, he would always gaslight, and I'd be like, I hate my job. I hate this. Like, I don't want to do this anymore. And he'd just be like, no, you're just not working hard enough. You're just not, you know, doing what you need to do to be successful. And I'm like, I don't think that's it. I'm like, I really think that this job, I fucking hate this job. But you know, he just kept trying to keep me in that position. And so for about a year and a half, it was just constant, you know, waking up and being like, I don't like my life. I don't like this. I hate this. Not to mention, I started drinking like a fucking ton. Like, I was drinking a lot throughout this whole period. So it was honestly just like a solid 3-ish years of day to day, like, I hate this. I don't like this life. And then when my husband left me and my job was really just like really hitting like its lowest point, I was like, everything I've worked for is pointless. This isn't what I want. I've spent 30 plus years trying to achieve this. And when I finally achieved it, I hate it and I don't know how to get out of it. And so it got to a point where like my depression hit so, so, so hard. And I saw no way out. I really didn't see a way out. And that was when I finally attempted, because I was just like, I hate this. I hate every single day that I'm awake. Like, I hate this. And I just got to a point where I was like, I'm exhausted. I don't want to deal with this anymore. And yeah. But here I am now, like, on a bright note, I did, you know, I attempted, was unsuccessful, and I called the National Suicide Hotline, which now is 988. It's just a 3-digit number that you can call. That's the National Suicide Hotline. So called them. They helped me, you know, kind of get out of my headspace. And from there, I got my first studio porn scene just a couple of weeks later.
Jesus. Yeah, no, I've been there before where it just feels like there's no way out. Things aren't going to get better. You're just hopeless. And like you said it perfectly. It's so simple, though. You're just tired.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, fuck.
Yeah, you really hit a point where just like, this was the scary part. Like, this, to me, this was the scariest absolute, like, I hated this feeling, even though it was, I woke up one day and I was just like calm. And I was like, my mind had been made up. And so I woke up and I was just like, today's the day. And that was the moment where I was like, yeah, I like, this is it. This, and I felt calm, which was like the fucked up part. Because I think, like, in my mind, I was like, I've just hit a point where I'm like, I'm done. And today's the day. And so it was just the weirdest fucking thing. It was the weirdest fucking thing. But at least now, you know, I kind of recognize those thought processes and those, like, when, you know, certain thoughts kind of pop into my head, I'm like, ah. No. Like, I know that one. Yeah. And so I've kind of learned from that whole experience to be like, now's the time to like seek help, to talk to somebody, to, you know, really haven't really had any situation like that since. But like, there have been some times where my anxiety got like pretty high, that, you know, those thoughts started to kind of creep in a little bit.
Yeah. What you said, though, about calmness is so fucking true, whether it's that, whether it's a relationship ending. It's like if you and I are dating and you find out I cheated on you and you get pissed off and yell and scream, whatever, you still care. Yeah. But if you find out I cheated on you, you're like, oh, okay. That's when, yeah, I need to be really fucking worried, because that's when you don't even give a fuck enough to get mad. That's like, it's done at that point.
Yeah.
You know, it's, yeah, just like, nope.
Yeah, when you hit that point, like, where it's like just a easy acceptance, yep, you know? It's that point where it's like, okay, this is fucking scary. I'm very happy that I was unsuccessful, because I'm honestly, I'm hitting the highest points of my life, ever since then. It's been a wild fucking ride, and it's been a great ride. So I'm very, like, anybody that's listening, like, it got so much better after I finally took control of my life. Everything got 10,000 times better. And I'm a very happy man now.
I think that's awesome. And it really sounds like you just started living for yourself and doing what you wanted to do because you wanted to do it. You were no longer living up to someone else's expectations or society's expectations. And also another thing you said just reminds me of something I say all the time is I'm always like, if you build a life that you love, you'll have nothing to escape from. So, these people who are drinking and doing drugs all the time, like you're escaping from something, and you're a perfect example of that. I'm guessing that's the reason you're drinking all the time, is you fucking hated your life. You hated waking up every day. Like, just.
And now that I've built a life that I want and that I am happy doing, like life is really good. Life has taken me to, or around the world, meeting some of the most beautiful people, becoming honestly, and I'm gonna toot my own horn here just a little bit, but becoming an international porn star and like being an in-demand porn star. And that has been where I've found like genuine love for what I do. The OnlyFans collaborations, Just for Fans collaborations, like all of that, I love just as much as studio work. The entire, the process of getting on set, the process of like meeting someone new and like that you're going to film with, or meeting a director, getting back with a director that you've worked with before, like all of that, it thrills me. Like it really thrills me. When a director or a casting director calls me up, I'm like, fuck yeah, like let's do this. It's or if like a collaborator that I really wanted to work with like hits me up, I'm like, oh fuck yeah. Like it's like it's everything that I've wanted to do, and it's that feeling when you love what you do. That feeling happens every single time. And I've been going strong at this for a little over a year, and it has not waned at all. Like it's, I still get the same fucking excitement that I did a year ago.
That's amazing. So let's wind the clocks back a little bit. How did you get into making fan content? Like, you're just sitting around one day bored? Oh, I think I'm gonna make an OnlyFans. Like, walk me through this, because that's a big step.
I have always been very comfortable with my body, and I've always been very like curious when it comes to my sexuality and curious with like kinks and fetishes and all sorts of shit. If it kind of clicks in my brain that I'm like, oh, that's kind of hot, I explore it. Like I'm like, oh, I want to check that out. I want to see what that's about. And so I'd always been very comfortable with it. And of course, like by this point, I had already slept my way through DC. So like I had gotten a lot of sexual experience in a very short amount of time because DC is a very gay city and there's plenty of opportunity. And so I finally was like, I'd gotten into a good amount of debt, living within my relationships and like, I'd had some long distance relationships where like you're flying back and forth and like living in DC is not cheap. And so I'd racked up a good amount of debt and I was like, you know what? Like I bet I could make some extra money. I bet I really could. And so that was kind of, I thought about it for a long time. I really thought it probably for like 3 or 4 months. I really like juggled, if I really wanted to do this, 'cause like I worked for the Air Force. I wasn't in the Air Force, but like I worked for them. And so I was like, I don't want this coming back on me. Like I got to make sure that I cover all my bases to make sure I'm not doing anything illegal or anything like that. And so figured out what I needed to do, covered my bases, and I was like, let's give this a shot. Let's see what happens. And so that was, it was March, like March 1st of 2020 was when I decided to launch my OnlyFans. Like 5 days later, DC shuts down. So needless to say, I was doing a lot of solo content. So yeah, that was kind of the start. Was I got into a good amount of debt, but I'd always been comfortable and always kind of wanted to try, and so I did.
Okay. And then before you started doing studio work, you just were collabing with people who you happen to be in the same city with and all that?
Well, like, so once I got vaccinated against COVID, because I was not doing any collaborations or anything during COVID. And once I finally got vaccinated, I met up. Are you familiar with Rick and Griff? Have you ever met them? They're out of Atlanta.
Really familiar.
They're really big content creators out of Atlanta. And so, like, I messaged them and, you know, DM'd them on Twitter and, or sorry, X. Now, messaged them and they responded, and you know, they're like, yeah, come out to Atlanta, come, you know, film with us, we'll make some, you know, make some content happen. And we really hit it off well. Like, you know, they taught me so much about, like, about how to market myself, how to film content, all of this stuff. And they introduced me to a ton of other content creators, you know, within the first couple of months. And so that's kind of how it, you know, really started once I started collaborating, and I got in with, like, that crew. It all just kind of, like, shot out from there.
Okay. Yeah. So you decide you want to do studio porn. Did you get an agent or were you applying yourself?
It's always just been me. I've,
Oh shit.
Yeah. I told you I'm determined. And
that is a lot of fucking work though.
Yeah. It's a lot of work, but I put in the work, you know, like I stopped drinking. I really started, like, paying attention to my health, my working out, like what I was eating. Really did, like, a 180 and flipped my life completely around. And so, you know, within the first probably 3-4 months of doing studio work, I already worked for, I'd gotten scenes with, like, 7 different studios, and, you know, never became exclusive, never did anything like that. Even though I was basically told I should get an exclusive, but then I was like, eh, I kind of want to be a slut and I want to work for all of them, you know? And so I did. And it's, yeah, I basically just, this is a cool story. Of how I got started with Lucas Entertainment. Now, I know Lucas Entertainment has, like, a lot of, you know, negative press about it, which, you know, it's kind of understandable.
I haven't heard anything.
Okay, I was like, there's some people that have worked for Lucas that came out of it, like, not happy. They did. It's a tough, tough thing to do. Like, it's a very tough studio to work for. Michael Lucas is very demanding.
I'm actually set to interview him, I think, next week.
Oh shit, really?
Yeah, so
he's a very intense man.
Okay.
He's very, like, at least in my experiences with him, he's very intense. He's like, he knows exactly what he wants. He knows, you know, like, and he will not hesitate to, like, put you out of the picture if you don't meet what he wants. So he's a tough guy to work for, but, like, he puts out one hell of a product. So I knew that I wanted to work for him and I wanted to work for Lucas Entertainment. So I went down to Puerto Vallarta when they were filming a production, and I found where he was going to be at what time. And I literally walked up to him at this party in Puerto Vallarta. And I was like, what do I need to do to work for you? And he was like, who the fuck are you? You know? And you know, what he said to me at first, I was kind of like, damn, okay. But overall, like, he was like, this is what you need to do. This is how you need to look. This is what you need to have going on. And I was like, okay, I'll make it happen. And literally I made it happen. That's, like, how determined I am to
That's
be successful.
That's, like, next level fucking determination, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, like, well, when I came from absolute hell and hating every single day of my life to this, I'm like, oh, I have like a newfound love for what I do, because like for the first time in my life, I am happy and I'm seeing the fruits of my labor. I'm seeing the success. And so, yeah, it was the determination is real, because like in my mind, I'm like, I know exactly, like, this is what I want, and this, and I will not stop until I get it.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm beyond impressed to be willing to do that. I mean, that's one hell of a shot in the dark. I mean, that's like some Hail Mary shit.
Yeah. And I fully expected to be like turned down, but I, like I said, I was determined, and I've now worked on 3 Lucas productions. So like I did the damn thing.
Good for you.
Thanks, man. Thank you.
So where would you like to be in, say, 5-10 years?
Oh, shit. I'm horrible at that, like the 5-year plan.
Yeah.
No.
Or goals you would like to accomplish. Like, are there studios you really want to work for, awards, or have a certain, achieve this, that type of thing?
Yeah. You know, it's really interesting. I feel like I've already been extremely successful in the industry in just a year. So I'm going to keep riding that wave. I'm really going to keep riding that wave. Like, and studios have started offering me like lead roles in, you know, big productions. And so that's kind of new, and I've been really successful at it. I've been really good at it. I mean, winning an award would be really nice. I'm not going to lie. Like, an award would be like a little cherry on top of, my studio porn adventure. But I really want to, I really want to work for international studios. Like I'm going over to Spain, to work with some of the Spanish directors and Spanish studios. Like I've already worked with like, Alter Sin, and Macho Jim. So like I've worked with them, and like, I want to continue to work with them. I really like what the products that they put out. My OnlyFans content, like I feel like I'm at a level now where I can start to like find new talent and like kind of bring them into the fold. So that's an exciting prospect. I'm doing kind of that stuff right now though, but in 5 years, so I'm actually taking courses for voice acting, like commercials, audiobooks, all this kind of stuff. And I've started a podcast as well. So like, if you've listened to my voice, I'm kind of like, I've got like a very deep projecting, like sultry voice. And so.
But what the fuck do voice acting? Like I get like accent removal classes for Arnold Schwarzenegger, or something like that. What the fuck is a voice? Like, explain that to me the way you would a golden retriever, because your voice sounds fine to me.
So, I already have like the natural talent, like it's there, and also I have like my acting ability is pretty good. So what I'm learning though is that like when you're doing a commercial, one of the things that I realized I do when I like read a script or I read, an ad, I kind of do this and then I go down low and then I go back up at the end and then I go down low. And you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to keep like even keel the entire ad. You're supposed to have like one kind of thing and like maybe hit certain words where you like add emphasis, but like you don't want to go, they call it sing song. I'm also learning about microphones. I'm learning about how far I should be away or how close I need to be. The pace of, what I say, the pace of, a commercial. Like if I try and say something that's supposed to be 30 seconds long in 15 seconds, it's going to sound really fucked up. So it's things like that I had no clue. I thought I could just walk into the, classroom and be like, I got this shit, y'all. Like, you know, let me show you how it's done. And then no, I got in there and they're like, actually, you know, you were really kind of like up and down, up and down, up and down. You need to be a little more even. You were really loud on this one. You need to kind of tone it down. And so it's shit like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
What the fuck, dude?
Yeah, in 5 years, I probably want to start like easing into a voice acting career.
Okay.
Yeah.
So why voice acting, not acting?
I mean, that's a possibility. I wouldn't turn down, you know, staying in, you know, performance. I really, really love performing. Not only the sex part, but like, you know, delivering lines. We just did a... actually, no, I can't tell you about that one just yet until it comes out. But there was a Raging Stallion production where I was like, really, like we were doing fight scenes. We were doing, you know, like crazy driving. It was wild. But I was like, at the end of the day, I was like, oh, this was fucking awesome. So I wouldn't mind staying in, you know, the performance side. But I figured like voice acting, I could at least like get my foot in the door of, you know, a stable income and actually worry. And every person that I've ever come into contact with and they've heard my voice, they're like, your voice, like, are you a voice actor? Do you do like a podcast or do you do audiobooks? And I'm like, no, but I fucking need to. So that's, I figure I should, you know, really lean into that because I've, you know, at least I could answer yes to that question when people are like, do you do audiobooks? I'd be like, actually, yes, I do.
Random question. Did you ever smoke cigarettes?
Long time ago.
How long?
I started when I was 12.
Oh, shit.
Told you my teenage years were rough. Okay. I smoked from about 12 to 19.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. But my voice actually dropped to this when I was 11. Like my voice went to this before I started smoking. Yeah. It's pretty wild, man. Like I went from, you know, 11 years old, like prepubescent child to this, in the span of like 6 months. And people were weirded out by like, you know, this 11-year-old kid talking like I did. They thought it was like Satan incarnate, you know?
Yeah, the reason why I asked about the smoking is because I had an ex who really liked that kind of very deep, raspy voice.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard it from multiple people, and it almost sounds like a lot of people like that smoker's voice. They just don't want you to smoke anymore. So it's like, yeah. You better gotten that shit out of your system back in the day. Because you definitely do have that rasp.
Yeah, it's like...
I was like, yeah, you had to have smoked.
Who's that actress? Catherine... Oh, what's her name? She was in Body Heat. Kathleen Turner. That's it, Turner. You know, she had like that raspy voice and, you know, like, yeah. And people love it. And so that's, yeah, there's an attraction to that kind of like raspy, sultry voice.
Oh yeah. No, for sure. And I mean, a lot of musicians smoke too, who have like that real deep, raspy voice.
Yeah, like Bob Dylan, Tom Waits, you know, those guys.
Exactly. So it's like, hey, smoke cigarettes. It'll make your voice sexy. Just don't do it when you want to date someone.
Yeah, be like, get the voice and then quit, and you're good to go. I would actually don't advocate for that at all. Like,
oh my God. Yeah, no, don't start.
Yeah.
So, do you have any stories from like content that you've shot, either studio or your OnlyFans, that really just stick out?
Oh yeah.
There's no hesitation there.
Yeah, we'd have to narrow that one down. like I've done a lot of studio scenes with like kink.com. Mm-hmm. Where we've done some like pretty intense stuff. like kink has me back mostly as a submissive, because like they can pretty much just beat the shit out of me, and I'm like more, more. And then with like content creation, there've been some people I've filmed with that just like honestly some of the best sex I've ever had. So it's yeah, there we'd have to narrow it down. You'd have to be like, what was, like probably one of the best orgasms you've had? What was like, the most intense
Okay.
chemistry?
All right. Here's one for you. This happened to me once in my life, and I still cannot explain it to this day. I didn't come from a blowjob until I was like 30. No bullshit.
Right.
And this was like right around 30, 31. I was getting a blowjob, and I literally had four orgasms back to back to back. Not like, oh, one that's just going on and on. But it was like one full orgasm, half second later, one full orgasm. I was like, what the fuck? I've never been able to replicate it. I still can't, even to this day. I'm like, what the? I don't, all the stars align.
That who was that? Because I need to find this person. Like, that's I've never had an experience like that.
Okay.
I've had hands-free orgasms before, from like getting fucked, and like they're hitting on my prostate, and my prostate finally is just like, whoop, here we go. I've had
But
that
like
before.
actual penile orgasms, not just internal.
Yeah, like I've actually like I ejaculated, like I came from my prostate being massaged to where it started to like,
Wow. Okay, never done that.
Oh, it's a great feeling. I was just recently in Barcelona, and I filmed with this Brazilian content creator, Igor Miller, and he made me come hands free, and it was. Let's see. Yeah, that I've never had like multiple orgasms in a row before, but I'm very interested.
Oh, here's another one. Have you ever used an inflatable butt plug?
No. I need to write
Okay.
this down.
Dude, you gotta try this.
Okay.
It has to be with somebody you trust, like implicitly. So one time I was with someone I was dating, and they were stroking my cock, and they put an inflatable butt plug inside me, and it like blows up. It's got like one of those, things you
Yeah, it's
press.
like a blood pressure thing where it's like,
Yeah, it
yeah.
keeps filling with air. And it's like, okay. Like you can feel it. It's like building up pressure. You can feel it pushing against your prostate. It's like, okay. And then it was like a boom, like, what the fuck. I was like, ow, like get it out of me. And it was like the most intense full body orgasm beyond anything I can describe to you. It was so intense that I'm actually afraid of it. I've never experienced it since. Like, take the most intense orgasm you've ever had and multiply it by like 100. It's so intense that I'm just like, holy fuck, what the
Or
fuck just
ordering
happened?
mine now.
I literally laid there. I couldn't move for like an hour.
Yeah.
I was just, you gotta try that.
I'm going to now that you've like mentioned, because I've seen it before, but I just never really like that. That never really hit my curiosity. But now I'm curious. And so, of course, you say that, and I'm going to be like, I'm going to order it now. Like,
I'm
let's do
just
this.
telling you, dude, it will be. There are literally no words that can articulate it. It's just, it's, don't even know.
Yeah. I'm going to try it, and I'm going to see what happens, and I'll do my best to articulate it.
Definitely let me know when you do. So you've had some of the best sex ever on camera.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm like trying to think of there's been quite a few that I've had like really great, really intense sex with. And one of those where you just kind of lay in a little cuddle puddle afterwards, where you're like, laying back and you're like, that kind of, and also where you're like, you can feel like every prostate spasm, like intensely, that you can feel it. So yeah, I've had a few of those, and it's, oof, it's fantastic.
So what makes some like when you have like phenomenal sex, what makes it amazing? Like, what does it take to get up here?
So since I'm like completely versatile, I've got two different scenarios really that like makes it really good. So when I'm topping, like the initial chemistry is really important, like kissing, touching, body touching, like feeling up on each other. For me, a big thing is rimming. I love to rim. Like I absolutely love it. Like I'm very oral when it comes to a hole. Like it's my bread and butter. And so that's one of the things that kind of gets me like really in the mood and gets me really going. And then for a bottom to be able to like take everything that I give and like not really put up a fight, because if I'm going full throttle and a bottom's like, yeah, no, don't do it, I'm like, wah, wah. So a bottom that can really like take me at full throttle, that's always fantastic. And then, I don't really like to pull out, so a bottom that will let me breed them and like fully experience like all, everything. That is like those are like the basic building blocks for like great sex for me as a top. I'm gonna sound so horrible about this one of being a bottom, but like I kind of have a loose rule that if I'm gonna bottom for someone, they kind of have to be bigger than me, like dick size wise. Call me a size queen. I'm guilty. I'm guilty. But a really big dick that like thrusts hard, like really puts me in my place, lets me be very submissive. That will usually get me to come hands free or get like very close to it. And if I can come hands free, life is good. Life is good. And so it doesn't happen often, but when it does, it's like I'm literally laying there like shaking afterwards.
Okay, well, you gotta make a take a trip out to Denver then, because I think
Yeah.
you and I would make some super hot content.
I
But
was about to say you gotta you're packing some heat.
the girth, that's what causes problems.
Yeah. Problems. I'm like, this doesn't sound like a problem to
Well, I.
me. No, I know.
Yeah, no, it's. There are way too many guys that are way too tight, or I've had guys like, yep, nope, that ain't going inside me. I'm like,
Yeah. I watched the episode that you had with Rocco Steele.
yeah.
So, fun like little tidbit of info. Rocco and I used to be neighbors in DC. And we fucked around a couple of times. And when I tell you that like if I can take Rocco Steele,
Yeah, you can take me.
I can take anybody. I can take anybody. Like he, that man is full on like taking a fist and like down to here. That man is massive.
Oh. One thing though, you said that it drives me crazy about porn, and this could be like my own little thing, and I could be totally crazy. Just disclaimer. But you are absolutely right about like coming inside someone. Like, if I'm fucking someone and it's like feeling amazing, it's like, oh my God, and, you start getting close and it starts tingling and then it starts pulsating. Why the fuck do I want to take that shit out and end that feeling and then have like a substandard finish. Like, fuck this.
Yeah, that's, if I were to say there's any part of studio porn that I could live without, it's the pullout, like the cum shot. Like, every time, it's always a cum shot. You gotta pull out, you gotta show it. And I, like, every single time I'm like, no, I want to keep fucking. Like, I want to finish inside of it. But, like, yeah, I have to remember in my head, be like, nope, this is a performance. This is not for your pleasure. This is for everybody else's pleasure, you know? It's like, people need to jerk off to this. And so, but at least with, like, OnlyFans content, I typically will, like, finish inside. Yeah. There's some times where I'll, like, the angle will be right and things will be looking good, and I'll be like, I can pull out and come on his hole. It's fine, you know?
Okay, so going back to what you just said, let's say you're the consumer and you're watching porn. Mm-hmm. Me personally, I prefer if they finish inside because I'm putting myself in their shoes. What about you?
Same. There's one thing, like, there's a couple of videos I've seen, just, like, little clips out on, like, Twitter and a couple of, like, you know, just sites that I've seen that advertise, like, little snippets of, like, when a top is coming and you can see the pulse of, like, his prostate and his hole as he's, like, breeding, as he's coming inside someone. That, to me, is one of the hottest things to see. Like, just the pulse of their prostate.
Damn. You're giving me ideas for filming now. Shit. I mean, you would, like, have to have a cameraman to capture that.
Mm-hmm. But... or, like, a really good editor, you know, that, like, can see exactly when it happens. Because that's actually how I film most of my content. Because I travel a lot, so I don't have the luxury of a cameraman. So I just set up two iPhones, like 90-degree angles, and I film in 4K because, like, you can zoom in when you edit in 4K and it's still, like, really clear. And I just play to those angles. And, like, there's times where I'll, like, if I'm topping, I'll just, like, move a bottom to be like, all right, that's the camera we're playing to. I'm about to fuck the hell out of you. Like, and I'll do everything I can to show, like, penetration. And if I come, I'm like, I show exactly that. Like, that's the angle that I get.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Okay. He's a professional, you know?
So you edit all your own content?
No, I actually have a manager. I have a content manager that, like, edits. Because I'm a total dunce when it comes to editing. Like, I tried.
I can't do it either.
Suck at it. And I hate it, too. Like, it's just... It's annoying to edit, and so it takes way too much time.
Yeah. Okay. Have you ever watched your own content?
I do.
Really? I can. I like cringe. Like.
No, I do, because there's sometimes I watch my own porn and I'm just like, damn, that's good. Like, it kind of a, you know, watching it to be like, okay, is this a really good angle? How'd this work? Like, kind of learning, like, what I could do better next time. But I actually, just the other day, I watched a clip of my own stuff. I filmed with this guy in Barcelona. His handle is Harry Dom XL, just to give you an idea of, like, what he's about. And he's got a big old uncut dick. And... huge balls too. And so I just watched, like, I was on my back, my legs were practically behind my head, and you could just see, like, all the penetration, every single bit of penetration. And when he came inside me, there was nowhere else for the cum to go, so it flooded out of, like, it shot out of my hole while he was still inside me. And it was like, I watched that and my jaw dropped, and I was just I was like, oh, this is golden. I was like, this is perfect, you know?
Yeah, so, yes, I've never seen that happen before, ever.
So that's why I'm like, when it releases, oh, world's gonna go, the gay porn world is going to lose their shit over this because it is so good. I'm getting excited about it because I'm like, oh, it's so good. I want everybody to see it.
Oh yeah, no, that would be hot. That would be super, super hot.
It really is. Keep a lookout for it because it's probably within the next few weeks that we're going to release it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I'll even tag you in it. I'll be like, dude, this is what we were talking about.
Yeah, I got to see this. That's wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So, let me see. I'm trying to figure out which of these questions. Oh, do you plan to expand your work to include size/body shape diversity along with the racial and gender diversity that already exists in your work?
Oh, yes. that's an interesting question. I don't know if you've run into this, but you know, scheduling collaborations can be very hit or miss, extremely hit or miss, actually. Like,
yep.
The sheer amount of people that have flaked or canceled or
I'd
like
say 50%.
Yeah, it's not as easy as people think it might be. Like, I would say when I take a trip to LA, I book, like, if I'm there for 3 days, I'll book like 7 or 8 collaborations because I know half of them are going to cancel.
Fuck.
Yeah. So it's like, and so when it comes to filming with, you know, say Black creators, transgender creators, it's not as easy as it seems. It's not just to pick up the phone and say, hey, want to film? And it's done. It's like, there's so much more that goes into it. And so I've wanted to film with more transgender men, transgender women, like Ariel Demure, big transgender female, creator, porn star, big old dick and like beautiful tits, big old dick, like fantastic performer. We've tried so many times to like get a scene together and it's just never worked out. And there's been a few Black creators that I'm like, I would really love to film with you, but like with Raheem, do you know who Raheem is? No. I've tried to film with it. Like I've tried to set it up when I'm in LA and it just has never worked out. I want to, like, the desire and the want is there. Sometimes it's honestly just who shows up.
Actually, I'm really glad you brought that up because, God, this is now like my 70th interview. And I haven't talked about that with anyone before. But you're absolutely right. Like, because for me, I'll get people, subscribers, oh, why don't you shoot this? Why don't you shoot that? I'm like, dude, I'm doing the best I can with what I have. And
yeah.
Where I live, it's like one of the whitest cities in the U.S. So it's, you know, like, and like you said, like Davin Strong, we've been trying to collaborate forever. And it just like, fuck, man. I mean, there's been people I've messaged with for years before it ever happened.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing is like, keep at it. Cause like, if the interest is there, the interest is there. And you just got to make it happen. And not only that, but, you know, the stars kind of have to align. Like, if I'm bottoming and say things aren't going well, I'm not going to film, you know? Like I'm there, I'm able to, you know, I want to film, but, like, maybe my body's not cooperating. And vice versa, if I'm topping in the bottom, like, if it's not working out, you know? So that, yeah, it's... I absolutely want to, for sure. It's just a matter of it actually happening, you know?
Yeah.
Like, the content creators I've reached out to are across all spectrums, and sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah. And some guy posted, when you're hitting it from the back, can you angle the camera on that ass? It's so beautiful at that angle.
Yes, I can, and I do. I wonder if this person is a subscriber, because if they were a subscriber, they would see that that's a common angle that I have in my content.
All right. So we talked about like your life, all kinds of sexual shit. This video is definitely like not monetized. It was not monetized about 45 minutes ago. But what are you like off camera? Like besides work, besides sex, like what makes you tick? What do you do on your typical day off, all that good shit?
So I live just over in Utah. So yeah, not very,
You
kind of
live
far
like
from.
an hour plane ride away.
I'm not far. It's weird how it's like an hour plane ride, but an 8 hour drive because you have to go through all the fucking mountains. I love to hike, camp, fish, all the outdoor shit. I love it. I love to sleep. I really love to sleep. I love to cook. I love to read. Like I'm honestly kind of, I wouldn't call it boring, but I'm just very domestic. I don't go out clubbing. I don't go out drinking. I don't like that's, I did all that shit. I did all that shit in DC. I'm much happier just like sitting at home, reading a book, cooking a meal. That's me. And when I'm not on camera, I'm usually like traveling somewhere to be on camera. I love to travel. That's probably my biggest passion of things that I love to do. I love to travel.
Why do you love to travel so much? I fucking despise it, so I'm curious.
I growing up, I never traveled. Like my
Oh,
family pretty much like all of my family is going to live and die in Alabama. Like they don't like to get out, they don't like to do anything. They're very homebody type people. And so the first time I actually got to travel, I went to San Francisco. That was like my first plane ride was going to San Francisco. And this was after college. So I was 23 and the travel bug bit. It bit hard. And now I've been to like 20 plus countries. I've been to Asia, South America, Europe, all over North America. I'm about to go to Europe again. I was just in Barcelona. I'm about to go to like Prague, Berlin, Amsterdam, Budapest, all
Jesus.
over Europe, and I fucking love it. Like getting
Wow.
to explore new cultures, see new things, meet new people, fuck new people, it's that's the life for me,
All right. No, I think that's awesome. Like, 'cause even just watching you, the difference in your face and your micro expressions, talking about your life previously versus now, I mean, it's literally night and day. I mean, when you talk about your life now, like your eyes light up and you just, I think it's amazing. I'm happy for you.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
Awesome.
It really, even though it's a dark thing to talk about, it's a good reminder of what I came from and where I am now. And I think it's a very good story. I think it's a very positive and empowering story. So yeah, I appreciate you, seeing that and you see like the difference.
Oh yeah. No, it's blatantly obvious. So one of the last questions I have for you is, what would you say, or what would your advice be to anyone who's watching this who is going through what you went through previously, where they feel like they're living their entire life for society and for other people, and they just feel like they're trapped. And what would you say to them?
Oh, that's good. That's a good one. I don't want to say like throw everything away and just, start new. Like, even though that's kind of what I did, I would just say really take a look at like what makes you unhappy. If you think about your job and your first reaction is like disgust or like anxiety, think about that. Really think about that. If you're with somebody and you're in a relationship and you think to yourself, like, say, having sex with this person or, coming home, because that was a big one for me, like actually coming home. If you feel an aversion to any of that, really think about that. Really take a step back and be like, what is it about this that is causing me anxiety or is causing me depression or is causing me to feel a negative reaction? And really think about it. And if it kind of makes you think, this is not where I want to be, this is not who I want to be with, this is not the job I want, really start to take steps to change that, even in minor ways. Because I can tell you, if you just keep with it because it's what you feel you're supposed to do, or if you feel it's what your family wants or your partner wants or anything like that, don't do it for them. Like, live your life as best you possibly can for yourself. That's like, honestly, yeah. Don't, if you're going through things that really put you in a negative space or a depression or lots of anxiety, no, you think about ways to change it and live for yourself.
Yeah,
Yeah,
you're
I,
absolutely right. I
yeah.
think that was really good advice because it's just, it's sad when you see someone trapped in that endless cycle. And at the end of the day, you literally, I don't think most people realize that you have one life. That's it, one. There's no reset button, there's no extra time. There, like, once it's up, that's it. Like, whatever the hell you want to do, you better fucking do it right now.
And honestly, if people are afraid of like money, or if people are afraid of, they might not have a place to live or anything like that, I mean, I almost was completely without income when I left my job. I really didn't have like much to fall back on, but I really found my happiness. I found what worked for me. And yeah, I struggled for a little bit, but like putting in the work and really putting in the work. And now I'm like in a mu I'm making more money now than I was with my big boy job, my like societally acceptable job. So it's like, even if you think, oh, I may not be able to make a lot of money, like, probably could.
Yeah. You get out of it what you put into it.
And the happiness and the reward is, at least for me, it's been beyond worth it. The heartache, the trouble, that horrible journey that brought me here was worth it.
No, I think you have an absolutely amazing story, and I really appreciate you taking the time to do this and tell your story, and yeah, really just not beat around the bush.
Yeah.
It's
Thank
fun.
you for having the platform and, creating this. Like, thank you for that.
Yeah.
And thank you for being open to talking to me.
Yeah, no, of course. This is actually one of my best interviews I've ever done. You're, yeah. But
Fuck yeah.
for the people who are watching, who obviously adore you at this point, where can they find all your content your podcast, social media, fan sites, anything and everything.
Yeah, it's just a DerekKage.com. Yeah, DerekKage.com.
And that goes to your link tree?
Yeah, yeah, that's what it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how would you summarize your fan content? Because I got people on here who make all kinds of shit, so you got to kind of narrow it down.
Yeah. As far as the sex goes, my content is very passionate. It's very, not honestly, primal, passionate, fuck, like sweaty fucking. It's really no frills. There's no like massive orgies. There's no, you know, let me wear this crazy costume or crazy outfit. Like none of that. None of that. It's me and generally only one other person. So it's just a, you know, a duo, and just passionate, sensual, sometimes rough fucking. And gotta say, it's pretty damn good.
I like it. I like
yeah.
it. Hey guys, just want to say thank you for watching this video. And if you did really enjoy it, I just want to mention there are two ways that you can help to support this channel. On the right side, there are three little dots. If you click those, there is a super thanks button. And on the left hand side, there is a join button where you can join this channel. There are three different tiers of memberships. The top tier does actually allow one-on-one messaging with me via Discord, and I personally answer that. It is not a service. That's just, you know, both of those are ways that you can help support me as a content creator in this channel. I mention this because YouTube is by far the thing that I enjoy doing the most. It's the thing I'm most passionate about. And unfortunately, a lot of the sexual videos, the porn star confessions, the Dom sub, all that stuff, it is not monetized due to the nature of the videos. But either way, thank you so much for taking the time to watch this. I hope you guys all have an absolutely amazing week. I love you all.